RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
1 minute after 7 o'clock here on a beautiful Saturday morning. We welcome you live to Lockport Country Club, one of the most beautiful scenes here in golf in Western New York. And it's our Tee to Green Golf Show here from 7 to 8 a.m. Thanks for being with us here. I'm Brian Colziel, along with Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, and from Lockport Country Club, PGA Pro Ed Boric with us here as well. As we've got a fine show coming up for you here. Of course, the Masters last weekend. We'll give you our thoughts on that coming up here shortly. Also, General Manager Roland O'Malley and the Marketing Director Melissa Miller to join us here from Lockport Country Club in just a little bit. Tell you all the great things going on here at LCC, including some of the great renovations that Kevin and I just saw. We'll tell you about that coming up here in a little bit. We'll get you our Encore Golf and Cobra Puma Golf PGA look at the leaderboard, our PGA Tour Champions Tour report, and all the other things that we need to know. Our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, of course, can't forget that. So lots to get to. Let's not waste any time. Kevin, good morning. I know this is always one of your favorite places to come up.
Listen, the clubs, they're in the trunk, and they're coming out after the show. I'm playing, so I love this place. I really do.
Have you cleared that with Eddie?
Eddie? I did clear it. And more importantly, I cleared it with my boss, my wife. So she knows how much. I said, hey, the show's up at Lockport. Don't expect me home, you know, till late, because you get a chance to play this golf course. It's a treat, and I love coming up here to play and the opportunities that I get to, and it's perfect day.
It is.
So far. It might rain later, but that's okay. We got rain gear. I own it, you know.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks for having us here again.
Thanks,
as always.
Brian. It's an awesome start to the year. I mean, we've had pretty strange weather, but it has got us in a great position. The golf course is in great shape, and we've had a lot of rounds already this year.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Jeff, great look here from the first tee as we sit patio side.
Yeah, sun's just coming up over the first hole here with these 270 degrees worth of windows. It's pretty nice. We can't complain. Lockport is a fun golf course to play, and those renovations that they're doing on the side of the building there, that looks exciting.
Yeah, we'll talk to Raul O'Malley about those coming up. We've got Ed here. We got to talk about the Masters, Bri.
Yeah,
right? The finish last week. It was great for golf to have Sergio win. There are two players that I thought, hey, this would be great for golf. I thought Fowler, you know, to be really put a stamp on being next generation guy. But Sergio, I mean, that just validates the career, doesn't it?
37 years old, and he picks up his first major. Good for him.
Second most tournament majors played without a major win behind Westwood, and he is able to get that done. That was his 74th major without winning one.
And the Masters never seems to provide amazing theater. It's always year after year. It's just a great show. I don't know what it is—the design of the course, obviously, and the strength of the field, and the way things tend to always shake out there. You know, they make these birdies, and there's always a bogey in there. Somebody's always bogeying 16 and 17, and then there's always something going on that makes that just a great finish. Happy for Sergio. I thought he won it. You know, I didn't think it was lost. I think Sergio won it, and it was he played there. When he hit that in the woods, left to 13, I thought it was over. I was pretty much writing him off for the day, and way to grind and fight and just keep coming back, and very, very happy for him. Fun to see.
Yeah, well, that was un-Sergio-like to come back.
Yeah, right.
And that was kind of what the drama was. The drama was that he was losing. He was in control, losing control, and then he came back and won it. Which, like Jeffrey said, Justin Rose was playing great, and I don't think he per se choked coming home, but no. Sergio came back and won the tournament, and just the feeling of everybody in the crowd, and like Jeff said, I mean, can you get more theater every year? It gets better and better and better. I mean, the Masters does not disappoint. It's really the official start of golf in Western New York. We, you know, you can have great weather, and we had great weather after our snowstorm here in Lockport, and we still didn't have many people playing golf because they said Masters starts at 3. We got to be in front of the TV.
That's right.
I mean, and then with the names on there, the only disappointment for me on my side was, you know, there was no U.S. But if you had to have it, like you said, everybody was in favor of Sergio being that sentimental guy. Yes,
and I'm proud of our game. Because watch how Rose comported himself after the round, you know, just like a complete gentleman after the most heartbreaking loss probably in his career. And, you know, those are the kind of things we like to model for our kids. And, you know, I hope kids are watching and seeing a guy handle a tough loss with that much grace is great.
The interaction between those two,
families.
Even while they were playing,
right,
I thought.
The families.
That's
right.
After,
the families afterward,
yes.
Behind the green, the wife and the mother coming, Justin's wife and mother coming up to Sergio. Sergio going to them. I mean, they're good friends.
Yeah. I mean, I know they have played together quite a bit in the Ryder Cup together, so they had that relationship going already that might have helped. Ultimately, too, I think maybe what did help Sergio is that essentially once it got to about the 14th, 15th hole, it turned into match play at that point because the rest of the field had fallen back. It was at least a 3-shot gap from everybody for the remaining 4 or 5 holes. That's a format Garcia is very comfortable in. We know, of course, he's done very well in that format. So I thought, you know, okay, he knows it's just him versus Rose. I don't got to worry about anything else. And I thought he handled it pretty well.
Well, think about those final three. So Sergio makes eagle at 15.
Hits the pin.
Hits the stick, right, and makes eagle. They put him right back there. Let's not kid. That doesn't happen. He doesn't win. But the final three holes, they both hit, you know, threw darts in there at 16. I mean, those shots are so good. I don't know if people appreciate how how good those shots were. And the so, you know, Rose makes birdie, difference of the angle, the putt right uphill, right to left for a righty, or downhill slider left to right. That's what Sergio had, and just missed the putt. And then Rose, hey, you miss a green at Augusta, you got to count on bogey, and that's what happened to him at 17. But their shots, they hit into 18. Under the pressure, right? I mean, the approach shots were just fantastic. Rose hit a great putt.
I thought he made it when he hit it.
Yeah, he did too. Yeah. And just it didn't
I think
go
he
for
thought
him.
He made it too.
Yes.
And, and you knew Sergio did not make it the moment he hit his putt.
And true. And it wasn't it was 5, 6, 7 years ago. I think it was at the Masters where Sergio was saying, "Hey, I don't think I'll ever win a major." His confidence was so low.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know, maybe I'm just not that type of player who can win a major. And here we are, it's still amazing to me a player of that quality picks up his first major at 37. He was 19 years old when we were watching him at the PGA Championship run around. So,
well, I think the other part that was really cool about it is, at least from a golfer standpoint, is you look at Justin Rose is a perfect sweet swinger of the club, and then you got the grinder, you got the lag guy who's, you know, scraping it around. He's kind of compared to Seve. He's and you had that battle of perfect versus non-perfect, and swing wise and career wise. I mean, you know, Sergio has been struggling. I mean, he's won a lot of tournaments, obviously, but
you have to putt well. I mean, right? Is there a tougher golf course to putt than Augusta National? And Sergio's, the knock on him has been all those putts he's missed over the years. You think about the lip out at the Open and just how he's putted himself out of other majors, and yet he wins the major that's perhaps the most difficult place to putt in the world, and he wins his major there, and he gets to go back
forever now.
And who would have picked him the week before? He was showing. He showed no form going in. He wasn't hot. And
he played well in match play. He made it to 16, and then he had to play John Rahm and got dusted by
Rahm. A
lot
of people did.
Yeah, a lot of people did to Rahm that week. Yeah. But it was, in demeanor, in his body language, you wondered what Sergio. I think it's great. You know, the thing I was wondering after he won, does it have the same feel as Darren Clark when he won the Open, or is this different because Sergio's a little younger?
Well, I think from our perspective, I think from the USA side of things, it's different in the fact that Sergio, I think, is much more of a well-known player and much more of a player that people have an opinion on. I think for a long time, and there's still people listening right now and people that were not rooting for Sergio in any way, they still remember him as he's one of the guys that always gave it to the United States in the Ryder Cup and still does. And I think that people still are soured on rooting for him. You know, there's definitely golf fans all the time that, if it's, as you said, Ed, there's no USA, he's not from USA, I'm going to root for Fowler, I'm going to root for Spieth, mm-hmm. or even for Kuchar to come up there. So there's probably still a little bit of that. I think he's gotten more likable as the years have gone on. And if you watched his interview in Butler Cabin afterwards, or even some of the other post-game round interviews that he's had, I mean, he couldn't have handled himself any better in terms of what he said, how he, even just in some way how he made himself, he humanized himself in the sense of saying, look, this is why I think maybe why I haven't gotten it done in the past, and I've put in too much pressure on myself, and I've asked, maybe some two other things. So I think in that sense, by making himself not opening himself up a little, in some ways, even going after himself a little, I think
everybody
he became more likable.
Everybody from Buffalo should have loved that victory.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
the lovable loser.
Underdog,
in some
yes,
sense. Yeah.
Well, I think you mentioned the week before too. I was talking to a few people the last few days about this. How about the week before, Houston and Russell Henley? The same thing. Somebody's got a huge lead on him, and Russell Henley. They come out in the fourth round and they say Russell Henley's making a run again. He's won one event. They're trying to get into the Masters, and they say he's made 41. Of 41 7-footers and in. 41 out of 41 7-footers and in. I mean, that's crazy. That's Tiger-esque when he in his prime. And then Russell Henley turns around, and he's on the leaderboard the first round. He's on the leaderboard. I think he finished in the top 20 or around 20th place on a guy who never played at Augusta. How important is putting, Kevin?
Drive for show, putt for dough, right? I mean, it's the old saying.
Well, 13 is where you see, because Sergio gets up and down, makes his par after hitting it in the junk, and Justin doesn't get up and down from behind there, misses the 4-footer. And to me, that's where the event, if it goes the other way there, that event is over. I don't think, obviously, it's over.
Sure, I'd agree.
And that was the turning point, and then all of a sudden you get a burst of energy and moment. Hey, I'm still in this. I can, and then he birdie 14, eagle 15. 15, so.
16 could have been a turnaround, though. 16 with the switch after Sergio's got the crowd behind him. They're going crazy. If you've ever been to 16, it's like, walking into the, into Rome with the Lions. I mean, you got people all over the place, and he tucks it in. Justin tucks it in, but Justin makes it, and Sergio missed it. I mean, that could have been a bad part for Sergio.
The two shots into 16 were amazing how they answered each other. And then again on 18 in regulation before it went to the playoff, how they, again, Rose hits one, and you're thinking, holy cow, he's going to win it here. And then Sergio gets inside of him, too, and just how they both use the contour. Rose gets the bounce off the side of the green where the bunker is. Garcia throws it past the pin. It comes back down. I mean, we've seen shots like that all week. I think that's just one of those other intricacies of Augusta National, too, that everybody just loves here, how these pros know where to hit it, where to miss it, and how to – listen, they're not fools at Augusta either in terms of where they put these pin placements. They're looking to make excitement where they put it.
Well, and misses can end up good sometimes, too. You may be a little bit offline, and those contours will take that ball. There's a couple bowl pin placements there that make it, like you said, fun. They're trying to make birdies. They make golf – entertaining there.
But we also had a miss on the tee shot on 18, which gets underplayed, where he literally hit it dead right on 18, and it came squirting back out.
It did.
To at least give him a shot, which shocked a lot of people how he laid up or chipped out. And
you're talking about the playoff.
Yeah, the playoff. Yeah,
and I'm glad that Sergio ended up making that putt, because you'd rather hate to see him win with a little dinky two-putt par.
Yeah,
there,
he made birdie. He won it.
He made birdie and won.
Absolutely. 7:13 the time here on Tee to Green. We're live at Lockport Country Club. Beautiful setting here. The sun coming up as we overlook the first tee.
beautiful day. I know there's a little rain expected, but Kevin,
later.
That's not going to throw you off the way around.
Man.
That's right. Brian Colesgill, Kevin Sylvester, and our PGA pros pair here today, Jeff Metis and Ed Borick. Ed is, of course, here from Lockport and has been a fine pro for how many years now, Ed?
This is 27.
27.
And the earliest start, either. Global warming's kicking in. Last year was our, when you were here, was our earliest opening ever by probably like 15 days. This year we beat it by 19 days again.
Wow,
we were
February?
Fully open on February 20th. Carts, greens, cut, pins in. It's crazy.
Wow.
Crazy
wow.
In Buffalo, New York.
That is amazing.
And to go back to the Masters, and my first trip to the Masters was with Mr. Borick here. Yes.
Yeah, on a snowy day, we made an impromptu decision
it was
to go
snowing
on
in Buffalo.
Sunday afternoon to say, have you ever gone to the Masters? No, I haven't either. Let's go.
Yep.
And we woke up Monday morning and drove all night and went to the Masters.
What year was who won it that year? Do you remember?
Phil?
We're pretty old.
That was Phil, 2004 maybe?
That was a long time.
That was Mickelson's first one.
I think it was Mickelson's first one. Yeah. Well, some of it's foggy.
A lot of tales. A lot of tales when you go to Augusta.
Well, it's one of the great things Augusta National does for PGA members, right? The practice rounds, you're allowed on the grounds.
Tournament rounds.
The whole week.
Yeah, we're allowed anytime. It's a wonderful
fantastic.
Privilege. Wonderful privilege.
It's such a place to go to once. I mean, I know I had an aunt in Rochester who kept calling me, telling me, I got in the lottery, I won tickets. It was Wednesday. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't believe it. She had the rain out day. So out of all the years to go, all the years to get tickets, she had Wednesday, and they threw everybody off the course by 1 o'clock. But that's
life.
That's life. Right. Yeah, it happens.
That's also
that's
golf.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's golf too.
I was disappointed in Jordan Spieth.
I was going to say let's
final
mention the two Americans that were supposed to have a chance here, Fowler and Spieth. Go ahead. What's your thoughts on Jordan?
I was disappointed. I thought those two might feed off each other. And Spieth.
I know, what a pairing, right?
Yeah, it was a great pairing. Penultimate group, and you know Spieth really felt he had a shot going in. I love his attitude. I figured, all right, he was going to go after it, and it went sideways on him again.
Yeah, and once you get to a certain point, so far enough back, you know, he was fighting, and it just nothing would drop for him. And once you get to a certain point, far enough back, it's got to just take the energy out of you. He started with that that quad the first day, and managed to get back into contention just by great play, and I think he just ran out of gas at some point there, and things didn't work out, but. Once again, Masters brings us great entertainment. You know, all these guys are going to rise to the top, and now we get to see Sergio's dinner next year, which should be very interesting.
That's right.
Well, I think with Jordan, the other thing that you could see after the third round was the confidence that he was exuding. I mean, that's a lesson in golf in itself. You don't have to be perfect. If you're confident, things seem to happen when you're confident.
And he gets that strut.
Oh, my gosh, he had it, and he was kind of showing it. That's why I think the ratings on Sunday were probably some of the best ever, because you had that Fowler's been playing great, Spieth's been, you know, now he's showing he's coming back. What a story that would be if he came back and won the Masters. And then you had the guys that were really playing good the whole week, you know, Sergio and Justin and those guys. So it was just amazing. It just gets better and better every year.
How about Thomas Peters, by the way?
Oh,
speaking of guys who came on again at the end, I mean,
roller coaster.
Right. It was a roller coaster for him, but that kid's got game, and we're going to hear a lot from him in the years to come.
We saw him withstand the pressure of the Ryder Cup, the captain's pick. He validated that playing so well, and we're definitely going to be hearing from him.
If Dustin Johnson didn't get hurt, I still feel there's a different outcome.
He would have been there?
I think he would have been in the mix there, and I think it would have mattered. I think it worked out perfectly for Sergio. The best player in the world, he's going to return for the Wells Fargo, so still a few weeks away, about a month away for Dustin Johnson. And it just, a freak thing, a weird thing he tried to play, but the guy was just on fire. And drives the ball so far. His short game was great. I mean, he's controlling his wedge play. His lag putting was fantastic at match play, you know, when I saw him there. And I just think it would have been different. And not only that, Sergio's in a final group with a friend in Justin Rose, and just the sportsmanship he had there. It played for him, and that's how
things
break, right?
Yeah, that's how you win.
You got to get breaks go your way.
It was TV moment, too. I mean, if you think about it, every day it starts at 3 o'clock, and everybody, that's all you hear people complain. I can't believe they don't have the Masters on before 3 o'clock. Well, ESPN and Golf Channel and everybody was doing all those shows from the practice tee. DJ was perfect on the practice tee. There was drama going back and forth.
Oh, yeah. They
One
loved
second
it.
They thought that he was playing. The next second he wasn't playing. They were looking at this. Who's this person behind him? What are they talking about? It was awesome on the practice tee trying to see him get ready for this event.
It reminded me a little of the coverage that Tiger would get off the course.
Oh, absolutely.
In the sense that he's doing something, and it's not on the golf course in a competition, yet it was the story, and there's camera shots of his trainer and camera shots of his agent and all that sort of stuff was going on. I mean, it's never going to be like Tiger, but it reminded me of similar events like that where we've covered Tiger. Oh, hey, he's arrived at the course. Is he going to play? Is he not? Like, we've had those before, and that kind of filled it out that way. 7:19 here on Tee to Green. We're live at Lockport Country Club. Beautiful sunrise here as we get going.
It's 2 weeks he returns.
2 weeks.
Well, first week
this
in
week's
May.
The RBC Heritage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, then RBC's this weekend. Yeah. Valero Texas Open, then the team event, Zurich Classics, now a team event in New Orleans last week of April. Then they go to Wells Fargo, which is in Wilmington. It's not in Charlotte this year, right? Because Charlotte has the PGA Championship. Then the Players. So Dustin is going to return the week before the Players Championship.
Okay, makes sense. All right, let's get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week while we have Ed with us here. It's brought to you by the Western New York PGA, growing a giving game. And, Jeff, I know when you and I have been hitting golf balls lately, you keep telling me to envision Ricky Fowler's swing. So let's talk about that. We mentioned Fowler. Tell me just some of the things you like about it. Ed, chime in as well here, too. Emulating the pros, that's one thing that you always say to do. Watch TV, see what they do, even in between shots, their routines. I think it's a great tip. So that was one guy I know I was focusing on, even was DVRing it, pausing it, watching it in slow motion. What are some of the things you really like about his swing?
Well, you know, I like his first 3 feet. I like the way he takes the club away, and that's why I wanted you to emulate his takeaway. You see a lot of players will get that club what we call behind them, where the club head will get behind the seam of their pants, or halfway back the club will be pointed behind him as opposed to going up on plane. And he does it beautifully. You see very few good players get the club behind them on their backswing. They keep it out, that club head out in front of their body. I do like the idea of emulating a good player's swing, especially for kids. You know, I grew up watching Tom Watson and getting Tom Watson's book, and that's how I learned to swing the club. But Ricky Fowler and these guys, the instruction's better now, and the players come out. There's fewer unique swings on tour. You know, Dustin Johnson's a case like that. But I do like, if you have a body type that's similar to yours, that's on tour, you know, if you look like Beef Johnson, yeah, maybe you want to emulate Beef Johnson.
Not the beard, though.
Not the beard. Not that you're built like Ricky, but, you know, there are good things.
Right.
And sometimes when you tell someone, you know, if you can teach someone to look at good players' swings and notice the similarities between all good players' swings, then you start to find patterns of things that make good players.
I think the evolution of the game is coming to a lot of those type of players, the younger player swings too. If you remember, Tom Watson and many other people had that waggle. Mm-hmm. They had a little waggle. Everybody had a little idiosyncrasy that they had the waggle. I know a lot of the newer players, and Ricky was doing it all the time, where he's watching, you know, he's feeling the club where it's going back, making sure it's not getting behind him.
Yeah, he does that little pivot to start. Yeah.
Now you go out on a driving range or a golf course, you'll see at least three or four people every day doing that. Mm-hmm. They're emulating Ricky doing that now because he's playing so well and other things, and they can relate to him, where we're relating to. And I thought this, we bring back to the Masters again. You look at the people at the Masters doing commentary. Who are they? Colin Montgomery, David Duval, Curtis Strange. You want to talk about weird swings? I just named three of them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really. And that goes back to it, where everybody's a better swinger of the club based on their instruction.
Well, we know more.
They work, yeah.
We know more about what works effectively in the golf swing. And to get back to that point, you know, if you're swinging the club back, when the club is parallel to the ground, it should be parallel to your toes or slightly with the butt end pointed toward your stomach a little bit more, as opposed to if your butt end of your club, when you're parallel to the ground, is pointing out to the right for a right-handed golfer, that's getting the club behind you. Then there's
a lot of other
reaction.
Stuff can happen.
Yeah, you need to. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So at that point, you've got to compensate.
And what you hear announcers say, oh, he tried to save it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and those players I just mentioned that are announcing all had their unique ways to save it, but right. they weren't consistent in the long run, like a Ricky Fowler will be or somebody right. like that.
Day to day.
Yeah, day to day.
Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be a poor player. I mean, there's a lot of outlier swings that end up being really, really good players. You have to trust what you do and know what you do and find a way to play with that. So you don't have to swing perfect to be a very, very good player. You have to trust what you do and know your swing to be a good player.
And Butch is, you know, Butch is helping him a lot understand that part of it, which I don't think he did before.
I think Butch is the best coach, hands down, in the game.
He says, you know, the Harmon family. I mean, we had a lot of exposure with Craig. And mm-hmm. I mean, and the words they use and how little words they use to influence a player, especially a good player, right. like a Ricky Fowler, doesn't need a swing change. But they're giving him a little bit to do. And that's why his little idiosyncrasy in the beginning is I think, a real key for him.
Yep. All right, how about we'll do a double tip here, Ed. How about for our Lockport members that are listening this morning that are going to play this weekend or some playing here for the first time, what's the tip to playing Lockport Country Club well?
I think everybody around this area looks at the hilly golf courses and thinks right away that it's about playing the hillsides. And at Augusta, you're watching it too. And I don't know. I wouldn't think that – do you think Augusta – how many real hilly shots did they have?
You don't. I don't think you have as many side hills yeah. as you do uphills and downhills.
Yes,
and that's, you know, you're launching the ball a little different, and I think a lot of amateurs struggle on the uphill shots a lot because they don't keep working through. They kind of hang on that back foot and try to flick it up the hill.
Well, and I think the part that I try to influence more than anything, and you heard it on the Masters broadcast, is balance. You look at how perfect Justin Rose's balance is. You look at how bad some of the great players' balance was in the last few years and how much better it is. Even, you know, like a Ricky Fowler or a Sergio Garcia, their balance in their younger years was a little questionable at times.
But don't you think when your mechanics are better, your balance is
better?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, because if you're, I know people that exit very vertical, they're going to be out of balance. The club's just pulling them out of balance.
Yep. So, and balance is such a key. If somebody's striving, and we for years have used the same thing, trying to get to a golfer's pose, our junior clinics, get to a golfer's pose. Imagine Justin Rose standing there like a statue at the end. You know how kids are. Kids see and they react. They don't know how they even get there, but they see that end result. You know, I grew up caddying. We'd watch our good players, and you'd watch where they got at their finish. And you just copied them. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, and then there's a draw finish, and there's a fade finish, and there's a bunt finish. And there, you know, so there's different finishes for different shots. And if you can get into those positions in balance, you got a much better chance at
it. And I'll never forget, you'll know him. I think you worked for him many years ago, John Calabria.
Mm-hmm. I didn't work for him. I know of him, though.
John Calabria used to always talk about feeling the face and feeling the club head. You want to hit a fade, you know, I'm going to get that heel going to the ball first. What? Heel to the ball first? You know, I'm going to hit a hook, a little hook. The toe's going to get to the ball first. Can you imagine kids thinking about that nowadays?
Well, the equipment's different. The ball's different. Yeah, exactly. And some of that has changed because of that.
Before we let you go, Ed, I know Rollin and Melissa are going to come up and speak a little bit about some of the great things here at Lockport. But how about just from the golf side of things, for those that are thinking about maybe joining somewhere, interest in, they've heard great things about Lockport. How about just the golf side of things?
Well, we were talking earlier, Jeff and I were talking about accessibility, Jeff at Park, and their, you know, the availability, accessibility. Here it's great to come out and show up. We have cars pulling in a lot right now where the guys are pulling in, they're stepping up on the first tee, they're getting a game. You don't necessarily always have to have a game before you show up. We had a very busy day yesterday, almost 75 players, and it's just nice to come to a private country club, play golf, pick up, have a cup of coffee with your friends, and say, you know, I haven't played with you in a little while. Here, let's go out and play. That's what our country club's about. Our country club's about coming and being comfortable. We're not a super busy golf course, so it's great. You can get out and play when you want to. You can bring your kids out. We have a policy now where we're letting more grandparents and parents bringing their little kids out, sit on the cart. Maybe take a ride, maybe hit a few putts, getting us going in the right direction because we need to rejuvenate the families back here again, and Lockport's a family town.
Absolutely. Ed, thanks again for having us here.
You're
we
welcome.
Love coming out.
Welcome here.
Ed Borak, PGA
Kevin,
Pro
we'll see
here
you.
At
I'll
Lockport.
Put your bag on the cart.
You got it, buddy.
Kevin, you still got a half hour.
I'm actually going to. Oh, we do. Okay. Yeah, I'm ready to go now.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're stretching a little early.
Is there? I don't stretch. There's a. I mean, is there a better look down a first? First fairway than this? I mean, it's beautiful.
It has been in great shape. I mean, what a blessing in this. We talk about the weather going up and down. What a blessing this year's been with. We had 350 rounds in February.
Wow,
that's amazing.
I mean, that's just mind-boggling.
Time out from beautiful Lockport Country Club. More when we return after this on Tee to Green on WGR. .735 Welcome back to Lockport Town and Country Club. Beautiful scene here as we are inside the clubhouse doing
nothing better than DMX to get you pumped up for a round of golf.
That was per your request.
Yeah. That way she's piped into the clubhouse.
No, yeah, that's right.
No, that's Raul's entrance music here as we bring him in.
As you go to the first tee with your cape.
That's right.
Yes.
Roland O'Malley, the general manager, Melissa Miller, the marketing director here at Lockport Town and Country Club, as they are on this segment here. Just to give you a little bit more about Lockport Town and Country Club, if you've heard great things, well, they're correct. It's wonderful to be here. Raul, thanks again for having us back. Kevin and I know you showed us the renovations going on out in the patio area before. Just tremendous. I mean, you guys have to be so excited about how this is looking.
Overly excited, really, to tell you the truth. It's been, as you've been coming here for many, many years, every year you come, I'm always excited about the next thing where we started with the golf course and then we moved into this 105-year-old clubhouse, and we started from one room and worked our way, as you see now, into the final stages with an addition we put on the Keenan room and a deck off of there, and then we're redoing our patio because, as we all know, outdoor venues have really gotten very popular, and we needed to increase the size of our clubhouse and also increase the patio for bigger weddings, bigger functions that we've been asked to do, and we want to have the room mostly for our members, but to also be able to take care of their children's weddings, too.
You're going to have a big problem on your hand. Which seating area do people want to be in? Because there's going to be so many great choices here. You know, this room that we're in now, the front grill room with the windows overlooking the golf course, or as you mentioned, the Keenan room back there with the new the bar you put back and the addition patio there, or the patio down below. I mean, so many great options.
You know, I think we are going to find that we're going to move a lot of the membership usage will probably start to go. You've got, everybody loves this outdoor, so they're going to be able to look out over 18 and, you know, heckle, and you can do this.
encouraging.
We're going to create another restaurant on the patio underneath that addition that we're putting it out there. So I think when they get finished playing golf, we'll have the TV sets and a full bar. I think they'll gravitate, you know, to the west end of this building a lot more because you're going to have more visual of the golf course.
Melissa Miller is the marketing director here at Lockport Town and Country Club. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us. How about just your perspective on all these renovations that are going on?
I am so excited about them. I have members calling me sometimes daily asking for progress. Where are we at with this? How is it looking? And I've been trying to take pictures, send them out. We're all so excited about it. And I definitely agree that I think the member usage is going to kind of trickle outside. Now we have a lot of members that come. They want to be here in the grill room so that they can look out. Now they'll actually be able to be outside and seeing everything and being, you know, in the excitement.
I think, too, I mean, you mentioned it before, but that outside scene, the patio, I mean, people in Western New York, they go through their winters that
exactly.
when it's nice out, they want to be outside. So to have that opportunity, and I know, and the different layers that you're even going to have out there is so great, I think, given so many options.
Oh, absolutely. We're so excited about it. And so is our membership.
You know, Raul, I wanted to ask you, you know, having Ed here, it's his 27th year here, and I think you're along the same line, or
no? I'm not as old as Eddie, so I'm gonna.
Well, I know that, but as far as being here, no. But just talking about the
22 years I've been here,
the consistency of the staff. I think that says something about it. I know the members probably appreciate that too.
Being familiar with everybody, and surprisingly, I'm gonna tell you a quick story, and don't let the Irish get out of me, because they're never a quick story. But I'm doing a retirement party for a young man who I thought was young, today, from the military, for 21 years. And his parents held an event here for him when he went away. Mm-hmm. And I was here. I ran that event. And it's like, I looked at him yesterday. I said, am I really that old? But he said, you know, I can remember leaving, going away, and you being here and shaking my hand and saying so. It's that. You watch all their families grow. You know, the, I'm doing weddings now for kids I used to hold when they were real, you know, when they were born. It's so, it's that, I think the members like that. They're familiar. They know you're going to take care of them. They call me up. They want to have a function or they're going to do something for their family. It's like, you take care of this. There's no question about what we're going to eat, what they're going to have. Just make sure it's taken care of. So it's a convenience when you've been around a club for a while.
You guys are just an integral part of the community. It seems like you're woven into the fabric here of Lockport.
We have. I over the years, all clubs, as all of you know, all clubs have changed in their way they handle it in the club business. And one of the things that happened to me, there was an event here, I think at a wedding or something. We had opened up and did a wedding for some people, and a woman came in. And you're talking about the community. She lived here her entire life. She was 76, 77 years old. She came right to me. She knew my family because, as you guys know, I grew up in Lockport. And she said, all my life I wanted to come into this club and never was able, and I made it. And now we have more and more and more of that where we have, and we've advertised ourselves as being a big part of the community of Lockport. We've built memberships to get people to utilize this with pool memberships. Just, you can join our pool for the summer. You can just come in and join the pool, eat. So it's a way to get our community to utilize this beautiful, beautiful place that we have here.
And Melissa, how about just a follow-up on that? Just beyond, we talked to Ed a lot about the golf course and the mm-hmm. and the renovations, but other things even beyond that that might be attractive. Ed, you mentioned about bringing grandkids out or kids out, that you're trying to create that family experience there. How about just other things beyond just the golf course that would be attractive?
We have definitely tried to gear even more events towards families. We are trying to, you know, really bring the families together here. We have our Easter brunch coming up, and I have a lot of members who are, they bring their whole family out. We have, you know, parties of 15, 20, 25, 30. So they're bringing their whole family to the country club for Easter, and it's just great to be able to be a part of these families' special days, whether it be a holiday, whether it be, you know, with their wedding. But we are trying to do more and more social events that are not just geared towards the older members, but so that they can bring their kids, so that they can bring their grandchildren. So that's something that we have, things that have been going on for years and years, like the Easter. But we also, I'm trying to work on some events, you know, newer and to bring in the more families.
Jeff, I think, too, the West New York PGA has obviously been on board and done this in terms of just families and children, whether it's grandparents at 85 or kids at age 5, like trying to get everybody involved. And I think you're seeing that. We're seeing it here at Lockport Town and Country Club, but we're seeing that across Western New York and the Western New York PGA of just trying to look at golf in terms of the commitment with people saying, well, it's a time commitment. But part of it is, I think people want to be with their families more, but I think this is a kind of a perfect way to get both in at the same time.
Right, and isn't that what you want? We all love the game of golf. That's why we got into it. And you want your kids to feel that same love of how nice it is to take a walk with your kids on a beautiful morning like this, around a golf course, have a chat, spend some time. That's the kind of the thing of we love about golf. As we said, how we were so proud of how Justin Rose comported himself after the. That's when you teach your kids those kind of things out on the golf course. They have failures. They have successes. They have friends. They have family. They have a place to go. What better place to dump your kids for a day? When I was a kid, that's how we stayed out of trouble. Yeah, you went to the golf course all day and played golf. And what a better place to have your kids spend their days than at a golf course.
I know that West New York PGA Junior Tour is going to be here May 21st, too. And that's one of the other things you have, your community events, whether their kids in the Junior Tour playing golf or a lot of charity events, the golf tournaments that come here.
We do from soup to nuts when it comes to tournaments, and I think a lot of clubs could do that now, and a lot of it are local charities just trying to do the right thing, whether it's cancer or just trying to help out schools or help out families that need. So that's a key. We do a lot of those on Mondays, and we try to make these events fun, you know, and then have something at the end of it so they can donate money to make the whole community better, you know. Or
if you get invited to one, if you get invited one out there, golfers, to come play one at Lockport, do it. If you've never played here, do it.
Yes, it's, absolutely.
You'll be blown away by the golf course. You really will.
Melissa, if someone listening wants to contact you or information, where can they go?
they can call me, 433-5969, extension 101. They can email me. That's melissa@lockportcc.com. Reach out to me on Facebook, on Twitter. I am always available, whether I'm actually physically here or whether, you know, I'm connected by my phone, as we all are these days. So any of those ways they can reach out. They can even just stop in, and we'll, you know, show them around.
Excellent. Melissa, Raul, thanks again for having us here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Beautiful day here at Lockport Town and Country Club. We'll be back with more here on Tee to Green, live from Lockport Town and Country Club on WGR. All right, time for our Encore Golf. Cobra Puma, check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. Graham Dillette, Luke Donald, tied for the lead entering the weekend at the RBC Heritage in beautiful Hilton Head, South Carolina. Ian Poulter, Webb Simpson, two shots back at -8. Biggest names include a large group at -7. Jason Duffner and Arnold Palmer's grandson, Sam Saunders, all -7. And let's see here, Brent Snedeker, 5 off the lead, -5. Keimer also -5, as there's your look at the RBC Heritage. As we take a look at the PGA Champions Tour, they are at the Mitsubishi Electric Classic in Duluth, Georgia. Bob Tway, a one-shot lead over David Frost. Tway is at -7 through one round. Again, a three-round event this weekend on the PGA Tour Champions event. So Tway -7, Frost -6, Larry Mize, Stephen Ames are 2 off the lead at -5. Our PGA Tour Champions Report is brought to you by Absolute Care and Orchard Brook, affordable adult assisted living. So we are back here on Tee to Green, which is presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, and our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantera, and Briarwood. We'll be at Fox Valley next Saturday from 7 to 8. But we are live here at Lockport Town and Country Club.
Hey, I'm very excited to welcome a guest here on the show. You've heard me talk about Golf Away Tours and putting together a trip of a lifetime. And joining us now is TJ Rule from Golf Away Tours. But he's not just from there. He's in Scotland right now on a trip. TJ, good morning. Or I should say, good afternoon.
Yeah, how are you? How are you, Kevin, Brian? How are you guys doing?
We're great. Not too bad of a delay from over the pond there. That sounds pretty good there. Yeah, we're really excited to be talking about Golf Away Tours this year. Just give us a little background. Some people might be hearing about it for the first time. What are you all about?
Well, we just we set up custom golf tours all over the world, and obviously we send a lot of people over to Ireland and Scotland, the two sort of most popular destinations that we send people for good reason. You know, everybody wants to go to play the traditional links golf courses, and I can understand that. It's my favorite style of golf. But yeah, we send people all over the world, and we set up the trip with, you know, all the golf and hotel and transportation, and just set it up so that people don't have to think about it and worry about it, and they know they're getting the best trip possible.
What's hotter right now, Ireland or Scotland? I don't mean weather-wise, but as far as people wanting to go, which place? And I'll just say this. I went to Ireland on a trip with you last fall. It was unbelievable. It was just a great time. The golf was fantastic. But I know there's, as you mentioned, people always want to go to the home of golf, right, Scotland, and then there's that allure of Ireland. Which one's hotter?
Well, you know, when you say hotter, as you said, you're not talking about the weather, because they're not really synonymous with Ireland and Scotland, of course. But in terms of the hottest destination, I'd say, you know, traditionally they're pretty even. I've sent a few more people to Ireland the last few years than Scotland, but this year it seems to have switched a little bit. And I think a lot of that has to do with the Brexit vote in the UK and how that hit the pound. And right now, the American dollar to the pound is about as good as it's been in a number of years. And so it's a lot cheaper to travel over here to the UK. You know, Northern Ireland also has the pound, so Northern Ireland's a bit cheaper as well. But for that reason, I think Scotland's a little bit hotter this year. You know, people always ask me, which one would you rather go to? And I love both, obviously. You know, we had a great trip to Ireland. It's one of my favorite destinations. But Scotland, if you haven't been over here to either before and you're a big golfer, you owe it to yourself to come to St. Andrews. It's the home of golf. It's, you know, the old course. There's really no experience like it, standing on that first tee with a bunch of people around watching and trying to hit that 130-yard wide fairway and not embarrass yourself. It's a pretty cool experience, and if you haven't done it before, I think that's where you'd start. And then, you know, hopefully have more trips in the future and include Ireland in those.
How far in advance do you need to, you know, book it or put a deposit? You know, maybe it's the time to put the deposit down and pay for it now with the way the dollar is to the pound right now. But how far in advance, TJ, should they contact you to say hey, I want to bring a group over to Scotland, play the Old Course? How far do they need to plan?
Well, the Old Course is a bit of a funny entity in terms of the bookings, because it is a bit more difficult than other places to book. You know, if you're booking a trip to anywhere else in Scotland or Ireland, you're talking normally about a year in advance. There are some courses that are already opening up their 2018 books now, and some of those courses, the big ones, really do book up pretty quickly. So looking at a 2018 trip right now is not too early. However, you know, we do get some people booking, you know, within 6 months as well, and that's possible. But when you're talking the Old Course, the first step really is to put an application in for an Old Course tee time in August. There's a three-week window starting at the end of August, and you put your name in, and you'll hear by mid-October if you're lucky enough to get a time. And if you then get that time, then you kind of work your trip around it, because you might not get the exact time you want, but as long as you get something, you can work a trip around it. So that's the first step for the Old Course. There are always packages available, but if you don't get a time in that application, then other packages generally will be a little bit more expensive because you're paying a premium for that Old Course guaranteed tee time. And then we have a lot of groups that come over even without a guaranteed time, but there are other ways to get on the course while you're here. That, you know, you get, depending on the time of year, you can have pretty good success.
All right, and I'm sure having somebody who knows how to navigate it all is an advantage. If they're listening out there and they say, okay, you know what, I want to get my group to go to Scotland next year or Ireland, or there's other destinations that you go to, South Africa, the Caribbean, what do they do, TJ? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, you can call me. You go to my website, I guess, is the best thing. All my contact information is there, but my email address is contact@golfawaytours.com, and my phone number is on the website. So golfawaytours.com is the website. They can go on there and check out all the destinations that we offer, and just give me a shout and we can talk through it. I love talking golf travel with people, and so, you know, even if people aren't sure if they want to go or can go or can afford to go over, but give me a shout. I love just chatting about golf travel, and I can hopefully help out and see if people can make their golf dream trip come true.
All right, we're going to do that a few more times during the course of the show this season. Thank you for joining us from Scotland, TJ Rule, golfawaytours.com. I can tell you, firsthand experience, it is great all the way. They take care of everything, and you will not be disappointed. You'll thank me when you say, hey, thanks for having me call that guy, TJ. Unbelievable job putting together the trip. Thanks for joining us, TJ.
Thanks, TJ.
No one ever goes over there.
Have a great day.
Got it.
No one ever goes over and comes, oh, that wasn't much fun. Oh, yeah. Everybody who's ever gone over just raves about it when they come back.
Yeah, the website, again, golfawaytours.com. But, I mean, beyond Scotland, Ireland, Wales, Spain, Portugal, Italy, France, even if you want to stay closer, he does tours within the United States and Canada as well. You mentioned South Africa, New Zealand, so you can check out all the information there. And we'll be talking to TJ throughout the course of our golf season here on WGR. One thing of note, again, I know Kevin mentioned it before, the Western New York PGA Junior Tour Day is here on May 21st, and that Junior Tour gets bigger and better every year, Jeff.
Yeah, and what a great way to get your kids involved in a little bit of competition. If your child's ready to make the next step, and just the nice thing is there's not a lot of pressure. It's still a fun league for kids to go out and play. They get to make buddies. They get to have friends. They get to go play different facilities that they probably wouldn't have an opportunity to get go out and play. And it's, I believe it's an inexpensive way to get your kid into competitive golf. It's we're very, very proud of our tour, and it's run very well.
Absolutely. You can check out more information on that at westernnewyork.pga.com or wnypga.com. Also, one more news here before we go. The men's Porter Cup qualifier will be held on Monday, June 26th at Niagara Falls Country Club. You can sign up if you have a USGA handicap of 3 or less. You can register. PorterCup.com is the website to do that, but they're looking for local people. If you want to participate, if your handicap's 3 or less, you can try to get in the awesome event, the Porter Cup,
And that, again, that qualifier at Niagara Falls Country Club is on Monday, June 26th. And we'll be up at Niagara Falls, of course, for both the women's and the men's Porter Cup, one of the great events in Western New York golf, Kevin.
It's great. You see players play there, and then they're making hay on the pro tours. Brooke Henderson, Women's Porter Cup, first winner of that event. And then you look at all the litany of players that have played in the men's Porter Cup that have gone on to greatness on the PGA Tour.
And we'll see players like Gavin Hall there again this year, taking one last swing at getting that win. He's had a couple chances.
Even recent players, Richie Wierenski, not the hockey player, but the golfer, won on the Web.com Tour.
Yep, Hall finished second last year to Harrison Endicott, but we've seen a lot of these younger names go up through the Porter Cup.
Yeah, and if you really want to test your game against the best players in the world as an amateur, this is a very, very good chance. If you think you're a good player, go out there and compete against these guys, and you'll know what it takes to get to the highest level at this game. You'll see the scores and the way these guys play. It's very, very impressive. It's so great to have a great event like this right in our backyard.
Absolutely. I want to thank Ed Borick and Roland O'Malley and Melissa Miller for having us up here. As always, they roll out the red carpet for us when we're here at Lockport Town and Country Club. Again, feel free to contact any of those three if you want more information on all the good stuff. We'll be back here later in our golf season for a second show. Next week, we'll be at the Fox Valley Club in Lancaster here on Tee to Green. Kevin, Jeff, have a great rest of your weekend.
Happy Easter, everybody.
That's right. Happy Easter tomorrow. Nate, thank you very much. Back in our studios, Nate Geary, our producer for PGA Pro, Jeff Mitis, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colesio. We'll talk to you next week. Don't forget, you can always check out our website, T2GreenRadio.com. I'll also be tweeting out our entire show's audio if you just woken up and want to catch it all again. I'll be tweeting it out a little bit later at Bryant WGR. Have a great day, everybody. A great weekend. Happy Easter right here live on Tee to Green from Lockport Town and Country Club.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.